Bibles, let's go to Acts chapter 16 this morning. All right, we won't be long this morning. I'm not going to say it's a short message. But it is a very important message. Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 31 to start with. So Acts chapter 16 and verses 13 through 31. Well, it says, "And on the Sabbath he went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and every man's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the day you've given us. We ask that you bless our time, Lord, as always. We want it to be beneficial. We want it to be fruitful. Father, we want to hear from heaven. We want to be guided by your Spirit. Father, we want to walk away knowing that we have received from the Lord what we needed for today that will even guide us into this next week. And Father, we ask that you would bless our time. We want you to be glorified and for you to have your way with us. So, Lord, give us ears to hear, a heart to receive the truth of your word. I pray, Father, as always, that you'd speak to the children. Lord, continue to guide them. Continue, Lord, to allow your word to take root in their heart, just as it did in Sunday school, as it will in junior church. Lord, just help them to develop that relationship with Christ, coming to trust him as their Savior and just learning what a great friend that they have in Christ. Father, I ask that you would continue to bless your people, be with those that are not able to be here this morning. But Lord, speak to the hearts, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week we talked about just having biblical happiness. This morning I want to talk about the fact that to know Jesus is to know what true happiness is. In our reading this morning, we see a few different people. We see two ladies and a man that both receive Christ as their Savior. all because of somebody who was faithful to the call of God in their life, someone who would show happiness in their life, even in the darkest hour of the night, and it would be something that would cause somebody else to want that same hope and that same salvation in their life. We see our first reading is Lydia, the seller of purple, as she was, according to Scripture, she was somebody who, obviously she sold purple, she was a seller in the city of Thyatira, but note that she had a heart for God. She feared God, she believed in God, she worshiped God, but she did not know Jesus Christ until after Paul came and taught them about Jesus Christ. And we see Lydia, the seller of purple, who is saved, and she invites him into her home. She's there. She now has the happiness of the Lord in her life, the joy of the Lord in her life. And then you meet this other woman who is unnamed, but a woman that was being used to do the devil's work. She was being used to do the devil's work. At some point, she'd given herself over to serving the devil, and the Bible says that she was a soothsayer, and she brought her masters much gain. She brought those men that owned her much wealth in the things that she did in communicating to people and telling people their future and all of this stuff, just being used of the devil. And yet one day when Paul comes through the city, she's saying what is true. She's saying that these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation, but it wasn't with a right spirit. The message was right, but the spirit was not right, and it grieved Paul so much that obviously he rebuked the spirit out of her. Her life was changed. She now became a follower of Jesus Christ by putting her faith in Jesus Christ, but it caused problems for Paul and Silas. They were just helping people, and yet sometimes when you try to help people, it may cause you some type of difficulty. It's not received well by others, even though a life has been changed, yet some others may not like it. These men did not like, and that's really where we find ourselves in the scriptures this morning. Lives are being changed, but not everybody is happy about that. Not everybody's happy that someone finds happiness in the Lord, because it is true, misery loves company. And these men were miserable in their life, and they wanted to make the lives of Paul and Silas miserable. So they catch Paul and Silas, they drag them into the marketplace, they round up the magistrates, they falsely accuse these men, they condemn them to prison. And it just reminds me of the fact that we have an adversary that's always trying to catch us and always trying to drag us into the prison of despair, into the prison of fear, into the prison of wanting, as the Philippian jailer, in your life because you'll be happier, because you won't have to deal with the hardships of life. But we understand that as we continue to read God's word, that the only happiness that any person can have is found in Jesus Christ. And ending your life does not bring happiness. It does not bring an end to the hardships that they're facing, to the struggles that they have. It just mounts it up even more as they enter into, if they're not saved, enter into that place that the Bible calls hell, which is a separation from God, who is the Prince of Peace, who is the joy that satisfies us and fills us. Jesus Christ is what all of us need in our life, and we need to remind ourselves daily that as we face life and we face hardships, yet as we've even been talking about in Sunday school, we serve the great I Am. We serve the one that told Moses, when Moses asked, "Who do I say sent me?" And God said, "Tell them I am that I am," because Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He is our joy. Whatever it is that a person needs, God can fulfill it. That's why even in Sunday school, I told the people that where God says I am, we can fill in the blank after that. I am your peace. That is what God says. I am your peace. I am your joy. I am your salvation. I am your protection. Whatever it is you need, God is that. And that is what this Philippian jailer needed. But you know what? In order to get Paul and Silas to the place where God wanted them to be so God could use them to be an influence in the life of the Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas had to face the hurts of life. The hurts of life. Look at verse 19 through 23. Again, when you think about God and what God does, sometimes we might get offended when things don't go the way we think they should go. But as a child of God, as a Christian, someone that has the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, we should always remember, and the Holy Spirit will help us to remember, that there are times where God allows things to happen so he can be magnified in our life to others, so we can be encouraged that I'm in the Father's hands, and if God is allowing this, then there's a reason for it, and I'm just going to choose to rejoice in the Lord in the darkness. Again, you're not the child of darkness. If you are a born-again believer, you're a child of the light. You've been called into the light to have fellowship with your Heavenly Father, who is the Father of lights. But there are times where we may sit in the dark, and God wants us to rejoice in him. He wants our hearts to be filled with praise and thanksgiving towards him, even though we may face the hurts of life. When you look at verse 19, the Bible says, "And when her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Now, they physically were abused. They were physically beaten, physically thrown into a prison, their feet fastened in the stocks, with seemingly no human hope of getting out of that prison, their backs bleeding, no doubt being in pain, and the hurts of life do hurt. Sometimes we are hurt by people. People hurt us. Jesus was mistreated by people. He was lied about. He was betrayed by someone he had allowed to be in his ministry, someone who walked with him 3.5 years, yet at the end betrayed him. There's all kinds of things in life that can hurt us if we allow it to. We don't have to allow people to hurt us. We don't have to allow situations to hurt us. What we can do is trust that the God that I serve, the one that I am following, is the judge of all the earth, and he shall do right. Again, there are going to be people that falsely accuse you in your life at some time, lie about you, lie to you. Here, these men, Paul and Silas, they are lied about, they're falsely accused that they are teaching things and troubling the city, which they shouldn't be doing, according to these men that don't like him. And why do these two men not like Paul? What is it that Paul and Silas did to these two men? What is it that caused these two men to hate Paul and Silas so much that they would catch them, bring them, drag them into the marketplace, falsely accuse them so they will be beaten and thrown in prison? Simply by doing good. Simply by trying to help somebody else. Again, we live in a world that is anti-God, that is anti-Christ. Thank the Lord that we can be among people that have the same faith and have the same desires that we do as far as the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's just times in life where, you know what, people will hurt you. Your heart at times will be broken by people. You will obviously experience somebody not keeping their promise, not coming through for you. But again, what we see and will see at the midnight hour is that God's always faithful to his people. God is always there to help us, to comfort us, to guide us, to direct us, to help us to have a right focus, and that focus being on the Lord. God cares more about us being happy than we realize. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. To know Jesus is to know happiness. Lydia experienced a more happiness in her life when she came to put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because remember, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe in me also. She feared God. Cornelius, the centurion, feared God, remember? He's the one that even built the synagogue for the Jews, and he worshiped God, he fasted, he prayed, he gave alms, but he didn't know Jesus Christ. And Peter was sent to him to tell him words about Jesus Christ, to tell him about Jesus Christ. And Cornelius put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That was the happiest day of his life. He already was joyous in the Lord, but to know Jesus is to know true happiness. This unnamed woman, this young woman that was demon-possessed, being used of the devil, was delivered by the name of Jesus Christ. When Paul rebuked that demon and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And we've talked about just the power of the name of Jesus Christ. The devil hates that name because that name, to you and me, is a comforting name. It's a name that brings encouragement. It's a name that reminds us, you know what? I belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My life has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and my Savior has prepared a place for me where there will be no more sorrow. There'll be no more headaches. There'll be no more struggles. There'll be no more heartbreaks. There'll be no more living in a world that at times wants to destroy my life. I'll be living with the one who has given me life for eternity. And think about just the false accusations, the unjust persecution that they received. Life is just full of hurts at different times, and it hurts. It's real. The hurts that we face in life are real, and I'm not minimizing it, but what I want to do is maximize Jesus Christ above our hurts, above things in our life. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment that you and I need in our life. Again, he's the one that gives the abundance of life. And you get to verse 25 and 26, we see the hope of a believer. We see a hope of a believer, and it truly depends on what we decide to do. Now, before I read verse 25 and 26 and the following, we have to think about what is going on and think about, okay, what could Paul and Silas do? Because we always have a decision to make when we are facing life's hurts, when something's happened in our life. We have to make a decision. Am I going to allow this hurt in my life to control me? Or am I going to let Jesus Christ control my heart and fill me with his joy and with his peace and with his love? The devil wants to control with hurt and disappointments. The devil wants us to wallow in misery. The devil wants us to sink in the miry clay that Jesus Christ has lifted us out of and has set our feet upon that solid ground, that solid rock. In verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. You are familiar with this. Probably on a constant basis between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I mention this account in Scripture because we all face midnight hours. We all face those times in life where we could allow our minds, our thoughts, to cause our hearts to become fearful, to become discontent, to start believing that nobody loves me, nobody cares, to the point I don't even know if God cares. Because think about, when was it that Paul and Silas got thrown into prison? It was after they did good. It was after they helped somebody. It was after they saw a young lady's life changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Delivered from the bondage of evil. We live in a day where so many young people are giving themselves over to the occult, giving themselves over to witchcraft. I found out just recently that somebody that works at FedEx with me, she told Dylan that she was practicing witchcraft. And she's a young girl in her early 20s. I'm thinking, because wickedness has been promoted so much in this world as something good. Anything about Harry Potter and all of the movies and all the books that came out and how it was promoted as something good. I mean, isn't it good to have magic to battle against evil? No, because God did not give us that ability. But the devil uses whatever he can to draw young people to the dark side. This unnamed young woman, somewhere she was drawn to the dark side, and once she was drawn, she was captive. Not because she had two men who owned her and made money off of her, but because the devil had her bound in darkness. But that's no match for Jesus Christ. That's no match for Jesus Christ. As Paul speaks, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her, that demon obeys the name of Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is and the authority that Jesus Christ has, because he has all authority, and she is delivered from the power of darkness. The devil wants young people, middle-aged people, senior saints. He wants everyone to be in darkness. Again, I'll say it. I say it all the time. He cannot steal your salvation. You're saved. You've believed in Jesus Christ. That's a gift from God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But he still wants to get into the minds of people, in the minds of God's people, young and older, and cause them to think things are not true so he can have some control in their life. That's why the Bible says, don't give place to the devil. Don't let the sun go down and give place to the devil. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let the devil have any room in your life. And no doubt we should not be yoked up with those that are servants of the devil in this manner. Paul and Silas are sitting in the darkness. You know, it's just at nighttime, and at night it just seems like when you're laying there in bed, your thoughts really get going. And sometimes you can't sleep. Now, sometimes it's because you're thinking about things you have to do, but there are times where, you know what? The devil comes knocking and wants to bother you. But I'm glad that we have a Savior we can cry out to like Peter did, and the Lord rebukes the devil. But sometimes we might give him a little more room and think about those things that he wants to torment our minds with. Again, when you think about Paul and Silas, I mean, they are physically bleeding, and we can't take that, the reality that they were beaten, their backs are bruised and bloody, they're in prison, they have no idea what's going to happen, and sometimes we don't know what's going to happen in life. We don't know what the next step is, the outcome. And we're faced with that darkness of not knowing, but we're never left in the dark because we serve the Father of lights. We're in the family of God. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope to the power of the Holy Ghost. The reason why the Bible tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit of God in our life is because the Holy Spirit of God helps us to abound in hope and joy. Because the Holy Spirit always puts the emphasis back on Jesus Christ. He always points us back to the Lord. Again, as Paul and Silas, yes, they are physically beaten, their backs are hurting, they're bleeding. No doubt, I mean, I would be sore if I got beaten too. I've gotten hurt before, and you've gotten hurt, and it's real, and it hurts, and you wish you hadn't. And maybe you've gotten stitches before. Maybe you've broken, you know, a bone or two before, and it's never fun. So you think about Paul and Silas, they do something so that their hope, if I can say, will be energized. Their hope will be focused on Jesus Christ and not the jail cell being opened up. Not, you know, the earthly judge the next day saying, okay, you guys are go free. Because maybe that earthly judge in that city would condemn them to death. We don't know. But the fact is, they chose, though, at an hour, no doubt, at an hour when the devil and the adversary and the demons work the hardest in the minds of people and in the lives of people, they chose to place their hope in God and to start praying and to start singing to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse 25, it says they prayed. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. They chose to pray. To know Christ is to know happiness in prayer. Because there's something about a child of God going to God in prayer and letting the Lord know what's bothering you. Lord, I'm hurting. I can't put words in Paul's mouth, but I wonder, was Paul letting the Lord know, Lord, my back hurts. Can you maybe take the pain away? Because what do we do when we're hurting? We want God to take the pain away. We go to the Lord in prayer, trusting and believing. The Bible says in James, is any among you afflicted? Is any merry? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. I can't help but to think that the first thing they do, they pray. They pray to God, the only one who can deliver them, the only one that can help them see the goodness in a bad situation, the one that can truly reveal the silver lining in the cloud. Because that silver lining is Jesus Christ, the focus back on the author and finisher of our faith. Again, God is not in destroying the lives of his people. God is in edifying. And with Paul and Silas, they were able to edify one another. They were able to encourage one another. I don't know. It was probably Paul that said, hey, Silas, let's pray. Maybe they got done praying. Maybe it was Silas that said, hey, let's sing a psalm. I feel good now after praying. I felt good after spending some time with God. Let's sing a song. And they probably started singing and maybe they just kept on singing. So the hope of a believer is found in prayer and singing to their God. Charles Spurgeon said once, it's easy to sing when we can read the notes by daylight. But the skillful singer can sing with never a ray of light to read by. Songs in the night come only from God, not in the power of men. And how true that is, because in Psalm chapter 40, verse 2, the Bible says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And we see that in the life of the Philippian jailer, who eventually put his life in Jesus Christ, put his faith in Jesus Christ by coming and asking, what must I do to be saved, after contemplating suicide because he felt like his life was over. Again, Psalm 40 says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. As a child of God, that's exactly what he did for you. He took you out of the miry clay. He took me out of the miry clay. Set my feet on a rock, on Jesus Christ, on stable ground that can never be shaken, and establish my goings. He's the one that has set a path before me, and it's a path that he will help me walk, as he'll help you walk. There might be some hardships along the way. There might be some hurts along the way. I would love it if God removed all the hurts, and it was just a bed of rose petals, just to walk on and know, then I could go barefoot like Emily all the time, right? Not me, I got sensitive feet. I get walking and just even one little thing, I'm like, you know, what What is that? It's a crumb. It's not, you know, it's not even a nail. It's just a crumb, right? But what am I saying? I'm saying that it's a choice what we're going to be, what we will, and who we will put our hope in. Paul and Silas chose to pray because they knew that would calm them down. That would help their focus to be right. And then, because their focus was right after praying, they started singing to the one who deserves all glory, honor, and praise. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I love the fact they prayed. They sang. Their focus was on the Lord. And in verse 26, God delivers them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Fact is that when they were praying and they were singing, God delivered them. There might be some darkness in your life. There might be seemingly some bondage in your life that you need to be delivered from. And the enemy will always convince you not to pray. Because there's power in prayer. Because the one to whom we're praying is the one that has all power. And when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the devil hates that. Pray all you want, just don't believe it. And don't mention the name of Jesus Christ. But when your hope is in the Lord, and you find yourself at a point in life where you've been hurt, there seems to be, you don't know where you're going, what to do, the only thing to do is pray. And when we find ourselves praying, we find our hearts being filled with joy because we're in the presence of the Lord. We've come boldly into the throne room of grace to find grace in a time of need. And because we're in the presence of the Lord, pouring our heart out to Him, as we pour our heart out to Him, we pour out our hurts, our disappointments. As we're pouring that out, God's filling our heart with joy, with peace, which causes us to start to sing because He puts a new song. I doubt Paul and Silas were like this, but there are those that find themselves singing sad songs, singing songs of, oh, woe, woe is me. Why me, Lord? But then when our focus gets back to Him, our heart is filled with the joy and the love of the Lord, we find ourselves singing, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We start singing, Thou art worthy to receive honor, glory, and power. We start singing the praise of the Lord because we were reminded of His goodness. We're reminded that He's here with me. And what seems to be a dark night turns into a bright day. As a prison is shaken by an earthquake and the prison doors fling open, no one tries to flee. Sometimes when God does come through, changes a situation, people walk away from the Lord. Okay, I got what I needed, and they walk away until the next time. I want you to notice something. The keeper, verse 27, of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. None of the other prisoners left. Paul says, we're all here. If it was just Paul and Silas, he would say, we're both here. We're still here. But he wanted to flip in general. Hey, everyone's still in here. Nobody's left. Because you know what? There's something about being in the presence of God. There's something about God flooding your soul with His peace. That even the other prisoners, they didn't want to leave. Are you kidding? It's better in here than it is out there. Because even in a dark, stinky prison cell, the presence of God showed up, made an impact on the lives of those prisoners. They didn't want to leave. There's something about being in the presence of the Lord, something about God moving in your heart that, you know what, this is what I needed. I don't want to leave.
That's why sometimes when you find yourself praying and you're spending time in prayer, you know, I got to go, but I don't want to go. That's why it's a great thing that, you know what, you don't have to just pray in the morning time, right when you get out of bed, or in the evening right when you go to bed, just throughout the day. Feeding the chickens, working at FedEx, dealing with insurance, you know, sewing, driving, you know. I don't want to be driving where I'm driving, but praise the Lord, God's with me, right? Just the Lord, the presence of the Lord. When you experience the true presence of the Lord and you experience that darkness being expelled by the power of God, you don't want to leave the presence of God. They were all there. What made the difference? Two men placing their hope in their Lord and Savior. Two men praying. Two men singing. Then God delivers them. God delivers them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." We serve the one that holds everything in the palm of his hand. He's in control. We serve the very one that can turn our darkness into light. We serve the very one that can bring joy in the morning, that can change our thinking. The devil wants to keep people in the dark. The devil wants to keep people's minds confused. The devil doesn't want anyone to be happy, because true happiness is found in Jesus Christ. Notice verse 27, the Bible says, "The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" The dilemma of the jailer was he supposed everyone had fled. I mean, he woke up. Probably fell asleep, you know, listening to the singing of Paul and Silas. Listening to the comfort of the words that were being sung. I believe the Spirit of God moving in that prison. This guard falls asleep, but then when he's awoken by this earthquake, I mean, he's groggy, he's looking around, and he sees all the doors open. He's just, man, they've left. I mean, he's probably staggering. He's not really thinking, and he's not thinking earthquake. He's probably, you know what? They probably ran past me and knocked me off my chair, and, oh, man, I lost my prisoner. I got to kill myself because I don't want to face, you know, the governor. Sometimes people think that's all they can do. That's the last hope they have, is just to end it. That is what serving the devil does in a person's life. Someone who is bound in darkness, someone who's given over to serving the devil through some type of medium, soothsaying, tarot card reading, all of that wickedness, they eventually come to the place, because the devil is the thief that steals, kills, and destroys. He wants to destroy lives. But obviously, Jesus Christ came to give life and to give it more abundantly. As the Philippian jailer contemplates that suicide, Paul, not seeing him, but I believe having the insight of the Holy Spirit, maybe hearing the sword come out of the sheath, I don't know how Paul knew, but he knew enough to cry out, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." Because the jailer, he was in a dilemma. He didn't know what to do. He thought, okay, this is what I have to do. And he was faced with a decision when Paul said, "We're all here. Do thyself no harm." Many times I have counseled people, in a sense, do thyself no harm. And then it's up to them to make the decision what they do. And you pray and you hope they make the right decision. He's faced with a decision. Trust what Paul is saying, but or trust the voice that's loud in my head.
Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
I believe as the Lord was working in this man's heart, through Paul's testimony, through them praying, maybe through some songs he heard, God's word will not return void. God's word will do what it's intended to do in the life of a person. Not just a Philippian jailer, in your life. In the lives of God's people, we have to believe that my hope is found in Jesus Christ, because he's the one that will never hurt me. He's the one that will never do me wrong. He's the one that will always lead me in the right direction, because he laid down his life for me. This jailer had a dilemma. He was faced with a decision. You know what? He found delight in the Lord. He found true happiness. There's not a single person in this world that doesn't want happiness in their life. Everybody wants happiness. Everybody wants fulfillment, contentment. And it's all found in Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse 30. He brought them out. Or verse 29, he came in. Philippian jailer, he called for a light. He sprang in. He came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have a peaceful life, a happy life? What can I do to have what you have? I've heard you. I've seen your life. I've seen the hurt that you guys have experienced at the hands of cruelty. But I've heard your voices filled with hope and joy. It's exactly what this man needed. You know, I don't know. Maybe he contemplated suicide before. We don't know. But you know what? God knows. God knows what every single person faces in life and what they're struggling with. And God always has his arms extended out, trying to draw that person unto him. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Jesus said, call unto me, I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Cast your care upon me. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He wants to bring rest to the soul. And that is what this Philippian jailer needed. He needed rest in the soul. Every single person needs rest in their soul. They need the peace of God that passeth all understanding. In verse 33, it says, he took them the same hour. Or actually, back up verse 31. Paul responds, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Like I've said before, Jesus is the answer. That's the answer I have to give to every person that asks for help. Every person I counsel, Jesus is the answer. Jesus can help you. Jesus can take away the hurt that's in your heart. He can take away the confusion that's in your mind. He can help you to feel that you're worth more than what people say or treat you. Because Jesus makes you feel valuable because he shed his blood for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house, and he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Again, what you see in this man's life is he had a dilemma. Is life worth living? Would I be better off dead? But then he's told about someone who cares deeply about him.
and he has to make a decision. And he makes the right decision because he finds the happiness that he's looking for. He finds the joy that he's looking for, all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Somebody once said in regards to this man that his hurt turned to hope. His anxiety turned to happiness the moment he turned to Jesus Christ. That is not just for someone who needs to be saved. It is for the child of God that needs to be reminded, turn to Christ. I'm saved. I have Christ. But we still need to turn to him. The prodigal son had to turn around and go back to the Father's house. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. God truly has clothed his children, not only with his righteousness, but with his love. With his love and his joy, his peace, he truly has given us everything that we need to make ourselves know that I am complete in Christ. He is everything that I need. It doesn't matter what someone says or does to me. I know my Savior will never do me wrong. As the devil wants to lead me back into darkness, I will refuse it because I'm following the true light, which is Jesus Christ. The devil wants me to believe in my mind that there's no hope for me, that nobody cares, nobody loves me. You know why a lot of young people turn to sorcery and witchcraft and demonic things? They want to feel accepted. They want to have control. Because the devil loves those that don't love themselves. Because he wants to destroy their life. The devil will use anybody to convince somebody that they're worthless. We live in a day and age. We have to be reminded the devil's real. He has an agenda. And he wants to destroy the lives of young people. He wants young people to believe that life is not worth living. He wants young people to believe that there's no hope. He wants older people that may have struggles in their life to believe that the only hope they have is in somebody else. Think about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. When Jesus said, go get your husband, she said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you're right. You've had five, and the one you're with is not your husband. She was trying to find hope and happiness in people that only Jesus Christ could satisfy. Somebody once said, to know Jesus is to experience a life change. And to know Jesus is to know true happiness. That Samaritan woman, just like the Philippian jailer, when she put her faith in Jesus Christ, believing who he was, she found joy. She found the joy, the happiness that she desired. It's amazing that, I'm not saying anybody in here, it's amazing how many Christians I meet that are unhappy in their life And yet they have the greatest thing in their life, which is Jesus Christ. We have to turn back to Him. We have to turn back to our Savior, putting our hope back in Him, singing His praises for who He is, and watch Him deliver us. Watch Him deliver us.